from the lion's head, you prove his worth. Impossible. Nobody can jump this.
Izzy! Then you must hurry!
In case you aren't able to figure it out, that was a clip from the third and final Indiana Jones movie, because that was the last one, that's why. As we talk about things like only to the glory of God, that only Jesus is Lord, that only by grace, I thought that as we talk tonight about only faith, that was a perfect clip to show of this scene of you have Indy and he's looking over the chasm and he's trying to figure out what to do and like what the solution to this part of the puzzle is, and ultimately he decides that he has to take this leap of faith, the step out over nothing. And I was thinking tonight that for us, that is what faith feels like. That's a pretty accurate representation. That it feels like a lot of times in our spiritual journeys, that we are sort of stepping out over the unknown, hoping that there's going to be something to catch us. I was thinking about that as I read these verses from Hebrews 11. This will be in your notes. We'll have it up on the screen. In Hebrews 11, which is kind of known as like this chapter all about faith, it says this. Now, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we can't see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. So by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. And although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up into heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him, for because he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It is impossible to please God without faith. Now, here's the problem that we have, is that faith sometimes feels like it's in pretty short supply, like we aren't capable of it. Like that step across that chasm is just a step that's a little bit too much for us. And so for some of you who are here tonight and you're checking out Jesus, you're checking out faith, that's kind of your problem with this whole Jesus, faith, Christianity thing, is it just seems like it's too far of a leap across the chasm. Like you're looking at Christianity and you're like, so you have to believe in this giant old book and everything that's in it, that all of that is true and actually happened. And then you look around at a bunch of Christians and you're like, and you have to believe a bunch of weird social and political stuff apparently. And you're looking at all of it and you're sizing it up. You're like, I don't know who has enough faith to make all those leaps, but it sure isn't me. And there are some of you who are here tonight, and if you're honest, you would consider yourself a Christian, you would say that you're a Christian, and maybe you've even been involved in a church for a really long time. But it's more and more starting to feel like you're stepping out over a chasm, and it's dark, and it's empty, and you feel yourself starting to fall down, and you're not so sure that there's actually anything there that's going to catch you. Maybe for some of you, you've been doing the right things. You've been going to church. You pray, you do whatever, but it's more and more starting to feel like just this rhythm of like tasks that you perform, thinking that it's what some God that you're not even sure you know or how to talk to or where he is at, and you're just kind of doing it, but it's more and more starting to feel empty. And that jump of faith, that leap of faith, only faith, is starting to feel like a little impossible. And then there are some of you who are here tonight that aren't in either of those places. There's a lot of you who are here tonight, and you've been followers of Jesus for a really long time. And so you're all in on this. You love Jesus. You like to sing the songs. You get excited about coming to church. You love all this stuff. But like, if we were honest, and I'll talk a little bit more about this later, but like, if we are honest, that whole faith thing doesn't so much play into your day-to-day life. Okay, yeah, sure, you believe a set of facts like, yes, I believe that Jesus died for me on a cross, that he rose again, that he conquered sin and death, and that one day I'll go to heaven when I die. Like, you get it, you know. And like, you have faith that that is a true thing. But like, is there going to be this dramatic step of faith that you take tomorrow? Well, I mean, I have faith that my car won't run out of gas because I should have filled it up, and I'm probably going to try to get to work anyway without doing it because I'm running behind. But like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about like an actual step of faith where you're like believing that there is a God who is big enough to step into a situation where you have stepped out beyond your capacity to do it, and you believe that he's going to meet you there in that moment because he called you to. That kind of faith. Is that the kind of faith that you're going to be stepping into tomorrow? Am I? Well, no. Probably not. And so for all of us tonight, what we find is that only faith is actually kind of a problem for us. So what do we do about that? I wanted to look at some verses a little bit farther on in the Hebrews 11 passage. We'll have these up on the screen. These will also be in your notes. I'm going to need that because I forgot to put it in my notes. So we are going to read it off of here. This is picking up in verse 8. It says this: by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. This goes on and on and on. We'll pick it up in verse 29 there. It says, by faith, the people of Israel passed through the Red Sea onto dry land as the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the prostitute Rahab became, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. It goes on and on and on. He talks about Gideon, about Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, the prophets. We have all of these people in the Bible who are looked at as these heroes of faith. And if we look at this the wrong way, it can be really discouraging. Because if you're like me, it's easy to look at the Bible and all you can see is all the ways that you don't measure up to those people. It's like you look at the story of Joseph and you're like, look at how he persevered in the middle of trials. And you're like, oh, I just can't be like that. It's almost like all these people who read in the Bible have these little halos around their heads and walked around. There's just like a beam of light following them and like angelic voices. You're like, I'm just not that holy. There's nothing like that. There's like a guy who follows me, but I don't know what he's saying. He's mumbling to himself. It's not the same. And so what do we do with this passage? Because it can be really discouraging. Well, if you look at the story of the people who are mentioned in that passage we just read, it starts looking a little different. So we have these heroes of the faith, right? But let's actually look at them. Abraham. There's this time in Abraham's journey where he pretended, actually twice, where he pretended his wife with his sister because the king thought his wife was attractive and he didn't want the king to kill him to get to his wife. So he at one point let the king marry his wife, pretending to be her brother. This is the hero of our faith. Sarah, Abraham's wife. Hears God say that she's going to bear a child, and being a person of extreme faith, laughs in God's face and says that's impossible. Isaac, terrible father, really bad father. Jacob, also a terrible father and a liar on top of it. Moses, God calls Moses and says, hey, you're going to lead my people out of Egypt. I'm going to use you to do this. This happens through a burning bush. I'm guessing whatever that was, it was pretty incredible moment. Moses, in his incredible faith, tries to talk God out of it. No, you can't use me. I'm not good enough for this. Anyone else, I can't speak. I don't have, like, how am I going to do this? Like, tries to tell God, like, I'm not the right guy for you to do this. The people of Israel, God's chosen people, these people who had seen God do all these incredible things, part the Red Sea, all of this stuff, the walls of Jericho come crashing down over and over and over again in the Bible. The moment after a miracle happens, start complaining, be like, God, you're the worst. We're going to go do this other thing. Gideon, coward. David killed a man to cover up an affair he was having with that man's wife. Peter and the disciples literally betrayed Jesus by walking away while he was on trial. And these are the people that are held up in this chapter as being the people who are people of incredible faith. And it doesn't fit our category of what we feel like faith is supposed to be, right? Because when we think of faith and being people of only faith, what we think of is being people who just have this confidence that says, like, I believe no matter what that God is going to win, that he's going to use me, that he's going to do this or that. For some of you who are here who are checking out Jesus and checking out faith, this is your idea of what faith is these very pious people who walk around untouched by the world, who are just always constantly like communicating with God. And yet, when we look at this, what we see are people who are held up for their faith and yet don't fit that even a little. So here's my theory. Maybe we don't actually know what faith is. So I'm going to do a little exercise here, all right? I'm going to need your help. So I'm going to ask you a question, then you're going to have to like immediately answer it, okay? Please do that. Otherwise, it's going to be really awkward for me. Okay, so what's the opposite of day? Good job. Opposite of up.
Down.
What's the opposite of left?
Right.
Okay, ready? What's the opposite of faith?
Down.
Okay, there, that one, not as confident as the others. You're doubting that doubt was the right answer. However, most of you said doubt. Right. Okay, so if you asked the average person, I mean like 9 out of 10 people, you said, what's the opposite of faith? 9 out of 10 of them are going to say that the opposite of faith is doubt. I don't think that's true. Faith isn't the opposite of doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. I'm going to try that again, all right? So some of you are like, wait, what? All right, so let's try it again. The opposite of faith isn't doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. Why do I say that? Because when you think about it, like to have faith in something means that it's not something that's happened yet. It means it's something that's unsure. It means it's something where you're thinking like there's a good chance this is going to happen, but I'm not going to know until I do it. Within that process of faith, doubt is just going to happen. Like that's just a thing. Like if anything you do, like when I went skydiving, like there was a lot of doubt about whether that parachute was going to catch me. I still did it. I still jumped out in faith, but doubt was a fundamental part of that process. Certainty is the opposite of faith because in certainty, there's no need for any sort of faith. And so if we imagine faith as being a journey, as being like this road that you're on, I would say that doubt is kind of this fork in the road on the journey of faith. You're always going to hit this fork at doubt. And the question's going to be, which way do you go at that point? Do you allow doubt to paralyze you and hold you where you're at and send you off on the path of uncertainty and never deciding and staying where you're at? Or at the moment of doubt, is doubt this obstacle that you work through that moves you farther along the journey of faith? My point being this, it's always a part of the journey. And I think it's really important that we let doubt be a part of the process. In trying to think about how to explain that, about why is understanding that doubt is a part of this so important, I started thinking about, as almost all of my, pretty much every week, I'll either tell a story about my wife or about my child. So this one's about my wife. So when you think about marriage and you think about the process leading up to marriage and engagements and proposals and all of that, like we have this very Disney-fied version of that where it's like magical and wonderful and like you just know because you're in love, you know? And it's like there's just no question about the whole process. It's like two people who are just captivated each other, and everywhere they go, they're just singing to each other because of the incredible emotions that they feel 24/7. The problem is no one can actually do that, and the more neurotic you are, the more like that commitment thing of like actually like proposing to someone and getting married is like kind of terrifying. And so for me, I had this idea, and like, there's a lot of you in this room who are the same way, just so you know. There are a lot of you here, and I was like this too, who think this, that in order for you to marry someone, you just have to be so completely enamored with them that doubt is nowhere a part of the equation at all. And they just have that it, that thing, that whatever, which really what we're talking about there is probably just physical attraction, right? And that fades. So that's not necessarily the primary thing we should be looking at. There's got to be something else. And the deal is that as I was journeying through that, like I didn't always feel like it, whatever that was there. As a matter of fact, toward like the middle part of our dating process, I got really freaked out and was convinced something was wrong. And it turns out there was something wrong. It was me. I had really unrealistic expectations. I had this idea of what it was supposed to be. And eventually I had to get past the idea of what I thought marriage and the path to marriage would be. And instead, I had to choose to put my faith not on a feeling, not on an idea, but on a person. And so for me, as I moved towards the process of looking at rings and buying a ring and then proposing, what motivated me and pushed me through the parts where I felt intense amount of doubt was the fact that I was looking at my wife and thinking, there's no one else I can imagine who'd be a better partner with me for the rest of my life. And even when I'm not feeling this it thing, I can look at her and see this is the kind of person I would want to spend the rest of my life with. It wasn't based on a feeling. It wasn't based on an idea of what it was supposed to be. It was based on her. But when we don't talk about marriage that way, when we talk about it like this magical thing, when doubt shows up, we think something's wrong. And what I would say about doubt and faith in our journey with Jesus is this, is that when doubt pops up in our journeys of faith, it makes us think that something's wrong, but that's not necessarily true. As a matter of fact, it's possible that doubt's just a part of the process. And what we have to do in that moment is the same thing I had to do when choosing to marry my wife, which is place our faith not on an idea or on a feeling, but on a person. I think a pretty good picture of faith is this. We'll have this picture up on the screen here. When you look at this picture, you kind of get it, right? I mean, this kid's a few jumps into it probably. This probably isn't his first time of jumping into the pool. But that first jump for a kid off of the side and into the pool is a terrifying experience. And what eventually pushes them through is the trust that there's someone there, in this case, that kid's dad is going to be there ready to catch him when he jumps. Now that's different. Let's go to a still shot that we have from the Indiana Jones clip. Do you notice a difference between, what's the difference between the pool clip and this one? You notice a big difference? Yeah, there's no person. Well, there's a few other things too, yeah. But there's no person. Like, with the pool, the kid's object of trust is in the person he's jumping to. He looks at his father and says, I believe my father is going to catch me. I'm putting my hope in the character of my father. And this one, it's putting your hope in some sort of vague, unseeable, non-thing that you're hoping might be out there. And I think for a lot of people, when we think of faith, we think of this, when we should be thinking of the other picture. When we should be thinking of a jump towards a father that we believe is there to catch us. When you look at the stories of the people there in Hebrews, and you look at the moments that they get it right, in between the moments that they get it wrong, what you see are people who have placed their hope and their conviction not on some vague set of ideas, but on a God that they know and they're experiencing. That over time, they've seen this God come through for them. They've jumped into the pool to their father before, and they've built up a confidence of believing, my father's going to catch me. And so as we talk about what do we do with this, if the opposite of doubt is not faith but certainty, and if what we need to do is embrace doubt as we put our faith in the person of God, then how does that actually change how we live? And I really quickly want to talk through three groups of people and what this means for you. The first is I want to talk to those of you who are here tonight, who are a regular part of our community. You are bought into Jesus, like that's your life and everything that you are. You're trying to like move towards everything that you are revolving around him. I think for some of us who are in that place, I think it's time for us to become more risk-taking people. There's this story, a pretty famous story, where the disciples are all on this boat and Jesus comes by walking on water, and then Peter gets out of the boat to walk to Jesus, right? And usually the way the story gets taught is that Jesus then gets distracted and he sees the waves and he sinks. They're like, so don't be like Peter. I'm sorry, how many of the other disciples walked on water at all? They're still in the boat. Like, at least Peter saw Jesus out on the water and is like, well, if Jesus is out there, I want to be out there. What do the other 11 disciples do? Nothing. Peter walked on water. That's cool. And you're like, yeah, the waves and all that. It's hard for me to judge. If I was out walking in the middle of water and I saw waves too, I'd get freaked out as well. At least he walked on water before. I can't say that. What if we became people who see where Jesus is at and just decide we would rather be out there with him than in the boat? So, and let me, before I get all ranty here, because that's probably going to happen in a second, before we get to that, I need to tell you this. So for the last couple of months, a lot has been shaking up in my own spiritual journey. And there's a lot that I could tell you about that, but I'll give you the simplest version, which is this. As near as I can tell, here's what I think happened. Several years ago, I was really young and had a lot of like excitement and enthusiasm, which also I was kind of naive and didn't like size up the world around me very well. And I came to this new church, and at this church I was at, I just came with like all the excitement and the enthusiasm, but like no thought of like understanding the culture I was stepping into. And that part of the church, the team I was on at that time, was in a really unhealthy place. And a lot of people, I felt really judged for being this really like excited, like Jesus can do anything. They're like, all right, take it easy, kid. And they didn't mean anything by it necessarily, but like I started feeling really embarrassed about a lot of the things that I felt God was doing in me. And so I decided I didn't want to step out of that boat, you know? Like, I didn't want the people that I worked with to judge me. And, like, they're like, let's, you know, just be the reasonable Christian, all right? Let's not get crazy here. And so I, like, went along with that. And that was my choice. That's not on them. That's on me. And I think what happened is that I kind of killed parts of who God's created me to be. I just like shut them down. I decided that at the fork in the road where doubt hits, that rather than taking the risk to follow Jesus, I was just going to take the path that led basically to nowhere, that just looped around and around. And for the last couple months, I feel God calling to some of those areas of my life and saying, it's time to bring those alive again, which is really exciting. It's also terrifying. I'm tired personally of being someone who at the sign of doubt just constantly circles back around and stays where I'm at. I want to be someone. And just for me personally in my life, with even nothing to do with Fusion, I want to be someone who starts hearing God and says yes again, who stops being afraid of stepping out. And Fusion, like, as God's calling me to that, I sense him calling you to that as well. I really do. Like, I've been praying over our community for months now, saying, God, like, where are we heading? And the sense I continue to get is this, is that there are a lot of you in here who are like me. You're very reasonable Christians. Like, you know the Bible, and you read it, and you pray, and you go to church. You're in a life group. You're doing great. But you're not willing to step out of the boat because life's gotten a little too comfortable for that. And with I don't want this to be about guilt. I don't want this to be about shame. I don't want this to be about anything other than this. And some of you are. Some of you are out there and you're jumping out of the boat and you're going for it. Good for you. Keep going. Keep doing it. Teach the rest of us. But I think, Fusion, I think there are a lot of us that God is calling us to go out where he's at, but we're too afraid of sinking. And I think I would like the legacy of Fusion to be not a bunch of people who played it safe and stayed in the boat, but who thought Jesus was out there. It's like, yeah, we may be drowning, but at least we were trying to head in the direction we thought Jesus was. I think that would be better. And so, what if we started believing in a God who is big enough to step into the moments where in our doubt we say yes to him and do something great? What if you believed that? For those of you who are here and a part of our community, what if you truly believe that to the point of action? And here's the deal. You don't, like, you're like, okay, so like what big thing am I supposed to go do? You're getting really intense. Like, so what do I do now? Okay, I've got good news for you. Ready for the good news? Like, it doesn't have to be anything big. Bad news, it probably is you just being obedient to the small thing you've been ignoring. That's probably what it's going to be. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's true for me too. There's a bunch of really small stuff. Easy stuff it was really easy for me to overlook. Like God telling me like, hey, watch a little bit less TV and spend more time talking to me. Not because TV's bad, but because I want more of you. And for years, I was basically ignoring that because I didn't want to. And like, as I have started saying yes to these really small things, what I see happening is God moving through my life more, that like these little small areas of obedience that seemed insignificant to me are making me more usable for God, and that he's just moving through me in this whole new way. What would happen if we here at Fusion just started saying yes to the small stuff? Like not even the big stuff, like the small things that God's asking you to do, that you said yes to that. To starting a conversation with that person you're not really sure you want to talk to, or getting serious about that sin in your life that you've been ignoring, or not excusing the fact that like you're hooking up with that person and you know it's probably not a great idea, but you're just making out, so it's okay. You're staying on the right side of like the sex line, so everything's good. But you know God doesn't want you to do that, and you know that you're trying to find your value and identity through that, and you're like, I'm just not gonna go to those parties anymore. Like, what if it was small stuff like that? And again, the point being this, for us to become people who are taking these small little steps of faith, even in the middle of doubt, so that God could move in power through our community. What if God wanted to do way more with Fusion than we think? And so for those of you who are here, who are a part of our community, and you're like serious about following Jesus, like that's for you, okay? I want to talk really quickly to the second group of people, and those of you who are here tonight, and to be honest, your faith has been slipping away for a long time. And maybe it hasn't been this like dramatic thing. Maybe it's just been something where you look back at the last year and it's just like every day it feels like you just believe a little bit less than you did before. What I've found, maybe not for all of you who are there, but for a lot of you who are in that spot, is that the big obstacle that you're facing right now is just honesty about where you're at. There's this really cool story where Jesus, this guy comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, can you heal my son?" And the guy's like, "Well, yeah, if you can." And Jesus is like, "If? What do you mean, if?" And he's like, "Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief." Which is just a beautiful prayer. And I wonder for those of you who feel like you would consider yourself a Christian, but your faith is just crumbling through your fingers, if one of the things that needs to happen is you just need to have an honest conversation with God. Where you're like, "God, I am losing my faith that I'm even having a conversation with anyone right now. And it's like, I need you to step in what little faith and belief I have left, and I need you to help me in my unbelief." To be honest in your prayer is that you don't try to clean it up and say all the right words and be like the good religious Christian even while you don't believe it. To stop saying things you don't mean when you talk to God and just be really honest with him. That you don't skip past the parts of the Bible that you have a problem with and ignore it and pretend like, "La, la, la, I didn't see that." Like, but that you actually engage it and stop letting doubt have this little foothold in your life, but instead bring that stuff out to life. And honestly, the most important thing that you can do if you're struggling with doubt and you feel it eroding your faith is to just be honest about that with other followers of Jesus who can come alongside you. That's what our life groups are for. Those exist as a place where you can have honest conversations about your faith. And here's the deal, Fusion community, if someone in your life group or just in any conversation starts talking about that, do not try to fix them. They do not need you to come in and give them the right answers. They are not trying to find intellectual justification that when they step out over the cliff that there will be something there to catch them. They're trying to believe that there's a Father who loves them. And if you want to help them, model that love for them. And so talk to the people who are just following, a part of our community. Talk to the people who are struggling with doubt. I want to end tonight this way. I want to talk to those of you who are here, who are checking out faith, who are exploring faith. And there's a couple of things that I want you to hear. The first is this. Is that if you're here and you're checking out faith, you're checking out belief, you're trying to decide where you're at with all this, you have freedom to experience doubt along the way. Like, you don't have to buy into all of it up front. You don't have to believe that every single thing in the Bible is true. You don't have to believe in like a literal 7-day creation or whatever it is that you think like is a package deal. Like, "Well, I'm going to be this. I have to believe in this too." It's like you have freedom to not feel like you have to like have 100% certainty about all the things you think you'll have to buy in to follow Jesus. As a matter of fact, some of those things might not even be right. What you have to do though is come to terms with Jesus. And make a choice about who you think he is. Our whole faith is based on the premise that God did not just remain some sort of like theoretical, invisible God who's up there, but that he became flesh. He invaded human history, and he did that, like Alex said earlier, so that God could be with us, Emmanuel. In John 3:16, really simple, it just says, "For God loved the world, loved you so much, that he gave his son, that anyone who believes in his son Jesus won't perish, won't die, won't live a life devoid of hope and meaning in life, but instead will find eternal, fulfilled, abundant life." And so if you're here tonight and you're like, "I don't know what faith means or looks like, I have so many doubts," it's okay to have doubts. It's okay for your faith journey to be moving through those doubts. Doubts are a part of the journey, but eventually you're gonna have to choose. And if you're here tonight and you're checking out faith, I want to challenge you to actually consider making a choice, because what I see happening in a lot of people who are like to consider themselves spiritual is that they like to kind of linger in a place where they never actually have to choose anything. And there's kind of this idea of like, "Well, you know, like it might be a lot of different paths, like they all kind of lead to the same place at the end," or like, "I'm just like a spiritual person." Like, what does that mean? It's like, "Well, I do yoga." It's like, okay, that's good, but like there's more to it than that. And it's like at some point to arrive at some kind of definitive answer, because if you're not believing in something specific about the God who exists and who is out there, then you're ultimately just believing in yourself, that you are your savior, that you are gonna be able to figure out, that you're gonna be enough. And what I would suggest to you is this, if you're here tonight, is for you to not feel like you're having to tackle this entire religion, but that you are at the same time moving towards the person of Jesus and deciding, is he someone compelling enough that you would want to follow him with your life?